Beloved, our motto text this year are the words of Joshua. This is the final speech of the man who led Israel into the promised land. They're the words of a man who has been faithful to God until the end of his life. And for that reason, we should listen to every word that flows from his mouth or that's written down and penned before us. Let us pray before we dive into this text. Heavenly Father, we pray that the power of your Spirit, that the words that come to us will sink deep into our hearts, to all of us, and especially to the elders and deacons today, that they would be sent to this work that they're given to do. But for all of us, Lord, that we would serve you in sincerity and faithfulness. Help us, Lord, to live before you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, Joshua was born a Hebrew slave to the Egyptians. He was not born in a palace that became a king. He was born a slave. But now, many years later, his people were living in the promised land. God had freed them from slavery, and it was God who brought them to this promised land. Joshua was a man who saw the promises of God fulfilled. God had been faithful to Israel. He had seen the blessings of God. And Joshua is a victorious book, isn't it? You begin with, they're at the edge of, they just start to get into the promised land, but as the book goes on, there's victories here and victories there, and they're entering into this promised land, and it's almost like a great revival of the gospel that goes into the world. And it's a mighty story of God's blessing. But now he comes to the end of his life. He's about to carry forth or to pass on the baton. He's giving it over to a next generation. And as he nears the end of his life, he sees a great danger. And the danger is not so much the other nations, even though they have chariots. The danger is the hearts of the people. He saw that there was in the hearts of the people a desire for other gods, a desire to mix with the people of their time and kind of form a half Israelite, half foreign nation. And Joshua can see over the horizon and sees Israel's fall into idolatry. I think when I talk to plenty of grandparents here, you know what that is like, isn't it? When you can see over the horizon and you see a next generation having a different desire or a different aim in their lives. And he could see the writing on the wall, and so he called for change. And so, without any further introduction, let me read to you the text. I'll read you two verses. The second verse is our motto text, but the first verse is really part and parcel of this text. Joshua 24, 14 to 15 are God's holy and living word. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And it is evil in your eyes, if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua let the Israelites know God's ultimatum. You don't go serve a little bit of this and a little bit of that and then God. You serve God or you serve the gods of the nations. Dearly beloved, Joshua himself said this, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As I was preparing for this text and thinking and pondering on this text, I began to realize how similar our situation is to Joshua's situation. We live in very similar days, a time in which many who seek to gather under the banner of Christianity, but yet are divided in their heart between God and the world. A desire in the hearts of many who are under the so-called Christian banner, who long to go and mix with the world and no longer want to be separated, fully serving the Lord alone. Worldliness and the desire for worldliness. Beloved brothers of the consistory, we are in need of men like Joshua. This church needs men like Joshua, men of conviction, men of faith, men that can stand against the tide of the world and are faithful to God. Not in this grumpy, I hate the world and I love my traditions, but in a true following after God, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength to be saying, this is where God stands, and I shall not move. You see, we live in a world, if we look around, it's a battlefield, isn't it? With many people who are falling away, if you want to know what a battlefield looked like, travel to Europe, take a trip to the Netherlands, to Germany, to France, to Switzerland. It's a battlefield. Once there was great and powerful works. There were many believers. Christianity was something that you could hear everywhere, and now it is something hard to find. Why? Because there came a second generation, and then a third generation, who loved the gods of the land more than to serve the Lord above. They became mingled with a desire for the world. If you think about the Second World War, the churches were filled. People worshiping God everywhere, saying, we need our God. We need God in this land. We want nothing to do with sinful desires, but we want to worship God. And yet as time passed by, the world became so attractive. And so, okay, let's do 10% of the world and 90% of God. But the world is so wonderful. Let's take 20% of the world, but 80% of God. 50-50 is fair, isn't it? And before you know it, God is an afterthought or a thought in the history books of a people. Think about it for a moment and consider how similar our situation is to the situation of Joshua. Joshua was a place in a place of blessing. God had given them much blessing. They're this little people. There were a few little slaves in Egypt. And now they're there in this wonderful land. And they're prospering. And they're victorious. How similar to us. We've been given peace and freedom to worship God. We've been given a multitude of Bible translations. We can read God's word, and if you can't read, you can listen to it. And if you can't hear and see, we have Braille Bibles where you can feel it with your fingers. God's word has come to literally every human being in this world, in this nation, in this city. We've been given 2,000 years of the work of the Holy Spirit, where we have countless testimonies of how faithful God is to those who follow him. We have history books of every era, not just the Reformation. We have church history, and all throughout the ages, we have evidences that God is faithful to a people who follow him. And last of all, we've been given for many years a land here that was like a peaceful field in which we can serve the Lord, in which we can worship him, in which we can worship him in the way we want. The president is not telling us worship God in this way. Now that might change. But for many years, we've been given that freedom to worship God exactly how we want. There is in this land no restriction on how you worship God according to the Bible. You can worship God according to Scripture in your front yard and not be persecuted. And yet, at this wonderful place, filled with this many blessings, in the church at large, there is a desire to mix with the world, to leave God behind and to mix with the world, living no longer for God and His name, but living for the name that is on the front of my car, or the street name, or the way other people name me when I walk by them. The pride of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the desire to merge with the ways and systems of the world, a desire that is not from God, but is unholy. And I can go into specifics, but it's everywhere. A desire where now it is normal for the people that belong to God to watch exactly the same things as those people who are outside of God, who live basically identical lives except for 3 hours on Sunday, who have just as bad of a temper towards their wives and their children, who have just as bad a business ethic or wherever you work, who watch and hear whatever the world desires. In Joshua's time, he was the God of the Amorites. They wanted to live comfortably like the Amorites. They wanted to be prosperous like the Amorites. They thought, if we're going to mix with the Amorites, we're going to enjoy, this is what was said, enjoy the blessings of their gods too. Now, we don't do that, do we? We don't say, okay, here's my Bible, there's a little Amorite god, and then there's a little Philistine god, and in the morning I do my routine where I first worship to this one, then I read my Bible, and then I worship to that one. Or do we? Or do we? First I read the Bible, and then I listen to some godlessness. You see, it is no longer... Israel had no longer a desire to fight for the promised land. They were done with fighting. They were done with striving. They were done with conquering. They said, we can settle on these lands and just befriend the other ones. They were afraid of the world, and it was their downfall. That is why the rest of the Bible, if you go to the Kings and the Chronicles, if you go to Samuel, if you go to Judges, it's such an exhausting read. Because they're constantly being conquered, they're weak, they're going to the idols of the world, they're persecuted, and at the end of the Bible, at the end of the Old Testament, there's a few people that come back out of exile, but most of Israel is destroyed. Behold, the future, if we walk in the same ways. You believe that? Do you believe, brothers, at the consistory, that this is a generation that must stand or fall? That this is a generation that is holding back the systems of the world for your people? We must be zealous for the church. We must love. And if you love, you don't let your children touch fire. You don't let them play with needles, but you give them good food. You protect them. You spend time with them. You love them. You see, we see the same desire of assimilation, right? Ganning together in our world today. The values of the world, money, power, and riches, are adopted by many who call themselves part of the body of Christ. Let me ask you a question. What is your view on money more like? Wall Street or Jesus? I'm not saying investing is wrong. You live for money? Or is money something you do to serve the Lord? Many of our world, our church is infiltrated by consumerism, or pride, or unrighteousness. Does your heart throughout the week look more like that of Jesus or like that of the Pharisees? That's a tough question, isn't it? Does my heart look more like the heart of Christ, or do I play with poison do I play with fire that I know is bad for me? That's the thing, isn't it? We know it's bad for us to go after the things of this world. Then you find yourself looking at it, or listening to it, or juggling with it in your mind. Brothers and sisters, we live in a time of emergency. These are dangerous days. The church is falling apart and the signs are written on the wall. The same way, if you go into Germany, you go in a church like this, there'll be about 4 or 5 people sitting in the church. I've been there. I've seen it. The pastors are paid by the government so they can afford it. Everywhere. Why is that? Is that because this generation is more sinful than the previous generation? Is that it? Are just our ancestors more godly than our current generation? Is that the answer? That'd be easy, wouldn't it? Then we can just say, oh, those bad kids. If they were like us, they would hold the tide and be faithful. But the next generation is just all about foolishness. I don't think that's the reason. I think the reason is that walls have been broken for generations. And as a generation breaks down a wall of faithfulness to God, in other words, I'm not talking about the externals, don't get me wrong. But if walls are broken for truly serving God, of praying, of seeking His face, of worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, of not mixing with the world, but loving God from a pure heart, of generous and loving parents to their children who are self-sacrificing, showing the love of Christ day after day until at one point they say, I want to know who this God is that you serve, a true, honest, and humble walk with Christ. If that is traded for, I want to live a good life and go to heaven at the end. I want to live peacefully here, make sure that my bank accounts are well fed, make sure that everything is covered, every angle, and then one day I'm going to stand before God and He says, you haven't done it perfectly, but you're in. That's not the Christian life. That's a wall broken down, which leads to unbelieving future children. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Follow the Lord in spirit and in truth. Are you one of those? Are you like the Lord Jesus Christ towards your family? Do they see Christ in you, the hope of glory? So let us look at these words. And you have no points in your bulletin because the point is the verse. So we're going to walk through the verse slowly. First of all, let us begin with this first word of the sentence of this phrase. But as for me and my house, Joshua's resolution is countercultural. It's counterworld, it's radical because it's a different path. To live in the will of God requires a true separation from the world. The people are going this way, but as for me, I'm going that way. You see? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I see Joshua standing with his feet in a river, and the currents are strong, and they're going one way, and he sees, as he follows his eyes along the river, he sees there is a great 10,000 feet drop where the river is floating. And all the people of his time were joining the rubber boats and they're floating along the river onto the edge to fall in the 10,000 feet drop. And they're all happy as can be and they're cheering each other how wonderful their life is. How great course they have. This is the most wonderful boat ride they've ever experienced. But Joshua says, I see what is happening. But as for me and my house, I will walk against the current. I will turn around. And however much it pushes against my legs to sweep me off my feet and to make me drop, I'm going to walk faithfully in the ways of God, the crucified life of Christ, of humble, sincere love towards God, faithfulness towards Christ. I'm going to walk against the current of this world. Church history, true church history, is a walk against the current. We always hear the hero stories, isn't it? Well, this man had so many converts, or this man did this, and oh, what a wonderful life. All these men that truly served God walked against the current. There's a story of John Wesley, who was disappointed one day because for 3 days or so, nobody had persecuted him. So he thought, I must be doing something wrong. And as he was pondering on that, a rock flew by his head as somebody tried to knock him out. He lifted his hands and says, praise the Lord, I'm still in his service. Now, I hope that we're not getting rocks thrown at our heads or rotten tomatoes or eggs, but we shouldn't be surprised. That's part of walking against the current, of walking and following after God. Men, are you ready for that? Are you men or are you boys? Boys cannot walk against the current. Boys want to float along, but men look to see where it goes and walk against the current. Let me give you a few ideas of what it means to walk against the current. Where the world pursues after lust, we pursue holiness. Different mindset. What does my body desire versus what does God desire? By nature, you think, what does my body desire? By faith, you think, what does God desire? Where the world pursues pride, we pursue humility. The world says, I got to be on top of another. I got to look down on other people. I got to be seen as smarter, seen as better, seen as more successful, seen as more pretty. That's the world. It's a rat race. The way of Christ is the way of humility. I rejoice in my friend's success, and I weep with his weeping. When you suffer, I suffer with you. When you rejoice, I rejoice with you. I'm always happy, because whatever happens to me, it's the Lord's will. I'm not going to be anxious. The Lord has something good to take out of this, however painful, however hard. Lord, teach me what blessing you have in this particular suffering. That's the way of humility. You see, sometimes Christians try to walk in the ways of pride and then seek God, and it doesn't work. I'm suffering. God, why do you allow me to suffer? You got to heal me right now, otherwise you're not a faithful God. That's pride. You know why? Because you're saying, I deserve to be healed. Humility says, Lord, I am suffering. If it is in your will, heal me. But Lord, teach me the purpose of it all. I know you're a good master and a good father and a good Lord. What is your will? Teach me, Lord. You see how the one is so far more peaceful than the other? The one is the way of Christ. The other is the way of the world. The difficulty is, you're going to be promoted to walk in the way of the world 10 times a day. And the way of Christ once, hopefully, per day. God's word. And your brothers and sisters who walk faithfully with God teach you the way of Christ. But the world teaches you the way of the world. Where the world follows after money, I follow after Christ. You remember the verse that says, you cannot serve two masters? Do you remember to keep those words? It's one to know it. It's another to walk in it, isn't it? It's one thing to say, theologically, it's correct because we are a singular soul and we can only have our focus on one thing and not the other. You know, you can preach that and still disobey it. It's a whole different thing. To follow after Christ means never to be motivated by something to enrich yourself for self. Never. It must always be, with every choice, Lord, what do you have me to do? If the end result is that I have $1 billion on my bank account, Lord, what are you going to do with this $1 billion on my bank account? If it is nothing, Lord, how are you going to sustain me with nothing on my bank account? You see, money is but air. We breathe in, we breathe out. It's something that comes and goes, but all we do is to be faithful to God, follow after Him. What we want to do is make a simple rule, right? Following after God means always give everything away. Or following after God is me just making sure that I'm safe. But it's not that simple. Because one day God might say, give everything away, and to the other He might say, keep it and use it for this. It's not that simple. It's in the heart. What is your heart pursuing? If you think back of 2022, brothers and sisters, what did you pursue in 2022? The Holy Spirit is in your heart the entire year. What would He answer that you pursued in 2022? And how is that different from your neighbor who doesn't believe and follow Jesus Christ? It's easy when I ask it. It's a lot more challenging to answer the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Because He's seen it. He knows it. Man of the consistory of Seventh, are you prepared to walk in the way of God even when the whole world turns against you? Will you choose holiness over comfort? Will you choose humility over pride? And will you choose rejection with Christ as greater honor than the honor of the world? This is not a role of honor. You're not placed above the church. You're placed at the bottom to serve. Now, congregation, to you they're placed above you. But to them, you are placed to serve, to sacrifice, to be the doormat of your brothers and sisters. Not just the one who is rich, but to those who are poor. Don't look at anyone according to what they have, but look at them according to Christ. For remember, God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith. Which brings us to the next three words. We're going to pick up the pace and we'll be done on time. The second point is, as for me. True devotion doesn't start with the we, it starts with the me. I must first serve the Lord. I can't say, okay, from now on, my church is going to serve the Lord. No, I must serve the Lord, and then I can lead others. I must first be wholly devoted to the Lord before I can lead others in the way of God. I must come to the place where I am crucified with Christ before I can lead others in this life. Right? You cannot lead the others without being. Beloved, we are a people that focus more on the doing than the being. I'm not going to quiz you, but I think if I ask you, when you think about what it means to be an elder, what it means to be a deacon, my guess would be that when you look at it, you're thinking about the doings. The every other week a meeting, the having to collect this or having to do that or having to go or call or speak. You don't have to answer. But the more important is the being. The being like Christ. The being a man who is crucified with Christ and now lives by that newness of life of Christ within me. Then the doing follows. Brothers and sisters, this is to all of you as well, isn't it? It is more important to be like Christ, because then you will do like Christ. If you start with, I'm going to do, you're going to end up forgetting the being. Dear beloved, in the service of God, there's nothing more important than being a follower of Jesus Christ. The work of Jesus in your heart takes precedence over everything else. You believe that? What God does in your heart is more important than what you will ever do with your mouth or with your hands or even with your ears. You must be a broken vessel before the Lord so that He can fill you, heal you, and restore you, and then you are a vessel fit for service. The work of God starts with the work of God in me. He must make me useful to Him before I can do His will. Have you made this radical choice? Choose this day whom you will serve? Have you made the deliberate choice to serve God, or are you still pacing back and forth on the fence? I want to serve myself or serve God? Maybe today I'm going to serve myself. No, that feels guilty. Let me serve God today. Oh, I did a good day. Let me go serve myself again. No. Serve God all the days of your life. Brings us to the next three words. And my house. Joshua's determination of faithfulness goes beyond himself. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Brothers and sisters, do you walk with the Lord, with your spouse? With your children, do you lead them in the ways of the Lord? Are you serving the Lord together? And may I apply it to the brothers of the consistory? You have two houses to lead. You've got to be doubly ready to serve the Lord. You've got to lead at home and lead here. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Their service to God is your responsibility. Did you know that? And your responsibility to serve God, congregation, is your responsibility. But they're given over you. So when they say things to your ears that you don't like because they try to correct you of a sin or lead you in a way of more holiness or teach you ways that you don't like to hear because it cuts your flesh, they're loving you. And if they're patting you on the back when they actually know you're doing something wrong, but they're afraid to stand to you face to face, they're hating you. Because a father loves to keep his children safe. You see that? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Brothers, when you go before the Lord tonight, tell him this. But as for me and my house here and my church, O Lord, help us to serve the Lord. Be bold before God and pray for help. In the same way that you give yourself to the work of leading this church to serve the Lord, in that degree, God has laid a great burden on your back. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the almighty power of God to sustain you, because at the end of this year, God will require of you to see if you've been faithful to these words. Preaching is not just a little teaching about a sermon or a little bit of an instruction so that you're kind of, you know, are reminded of things you have to do. It is a call of God. And by the end of 2023, God will require an answer to see if you've been faithful to the words that you hear this morning. And he requires it of me. Have I been faithful to God? Beloved congregation, the elders and the deacons are God's gift to you this year. They do a lot of work to keep you safe, to protect you, to watch over you in prayer. And if you say, well, I wish they would call me more often or see me more often. God hears your name more often in prayer than you know. These men labor for you because they love you. You should cherish them like your most precious child. You should cherish them with all your heart. You should be in constant prayer for them, watching over them, understanding that these men sacrificed their time for your sake, that their wives are without their husband at times for your sake. Pray for their wives. Pray for their children and grandchildren. These men are God's gift to you for this year. This is real. This is not a custom. This is God's appointment for them, for your sake. So be faithful to them. Make it easy for them to serve you so that you may rejoice together. Which brings me to the last words. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Did you know that the Lord is in our midst this morning? We will serve the Lord. Listen to the words of Joshua. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. I was thinking how to explain this verse because we've heard these words so many times. So I'm going to read to you the opposite of this verse and in that way explain what these words mean. This is the opposite. Therefore, be careless about the Lord and serve yourself with all greed and unfaithfulness to God. Serve the idols of your heart like the world and serve yourself. Makes it more clear, isn't it? Serve the idols of your heart. Be careless about your service to the Lord. Follow after your greed. If you look back on 2022 and you say, to me, that is more accurate than this verse. Take strength from this verse, because when God gives the command, he gives the strength to do so. Joshua says, but we will serve the Lord. We will fear the Lord. We will be sincere and faithful to God. We will not worship idols, but we will serve the Lord alone. I will no longer have any idols in 2023. The things that draw me away from God go out of the house. For some of you, that should be your TV if he fits through the door. Everything that distracts me from God needs to go. Even if that means that my entire man cave becomes a simple desk with a Bible alone and a bench to kneel and pray to God. Serve the Lord alone. Don't serve your flesh. Be done with serving your flesh. Isn't it discouraging when you serve your flesh and you look at yourself in the mirror and say, what am I, a boy of 3 years old? What am I, some useless little person? Why can I not just serve the Lord? Because you leave your idols in your room, in your pocket. This is a full-time commitment. Joshua is all in with God. Are you all in with God? Or are you 50-50? Or 80-20? Or 99-1? If you're 99-1, try drinking a milkshake with 1% poison. See how delightful that is. We must be 100% people serving the Lord. That is what it means to serve God. It is a life of holy and entirely lived in service to God. Nothing shall enter your eyes, nothing shall enter your ears, nothing shall enter your heart that is not pleasing to God. You will not use your body or your mind for anything that does not give glory to God. You belong to God and to Him alone. You say, wow, that's really going for it. If you do that, I mean, you're really a super Christian. No, you're a normal Christian. Let me give you the verse. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, for you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Mark 8:34-35, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake will save it. Your flesh is to be crucified. Your eyes are crucified. Your ears are crucified. Your heart is crucified. It's on the cross. It's no longer your own. So now your eyes are directed by the desires of Christ. Your ears are the channels to which Christ can speak what he desires to speak into your ears. Your heart is the throne room of God upon which God can speak and sit and direct. That's the normal Christian life. Beloved, the reason why I preach this message in this way is because I'm afraid that we cannot keep standing where we stand. We're either pushed away or we march towards Christ more closely. The status quo is not enough. We must pursue Christ with all our hearts, all our minds, all our soul, with our eyes, our ears, our hearts, or die. Joshua said, "For me and my house, we will serve the Lord." What will we do in this day, in this year? Let me give a final word. If we do, and be, as we spoke about this morning, we will be filled with the Holy Spirit. We will see transformed lives in our midst and outside our church. We will see, if you will, that the land, the promised land, is completely turned over to Christ. This is not a time to sit and be depressed. This is a time to stand up and to walk in the ways of Christ, to walk against the flow, not to point and say, "Well, look at what that church has done. Look at what that church has done." If they don't wish to follow Christ, let us show what it means to follow Christ in humble love in our day. They must see that it is better to be with the Lord than to be with the world. They must have examples that they can see and hear. They're walking by a different spirit. They're walking in a different path, in a different way. They must see you transformed by the Holy Spirit. And then they will see, and see they will desire. Let us follow Christ, not pointing to others, but fixing our eyes upon the Lord. And then there is hope for this place, for this city, for this state, for this country, for this world. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, praise be to your great name. What a verse, Lord. What an example. For Lord, you are the greater Joshua. And you and those who are in your house will serve the Lord. Help us to serve you, O God, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill the elders and deacons this year, that they would serve you and be a light in a dark world. For Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.